Blog Talk Radio.
Someday I'll have me a chauffeur and a block-long limousine, EO11, EO11. Someday I'll have me a penthouse, stacks and stacks of Bowling Green, EO11, EO11. It's all a state of mind, whether or not you find that place down there or heaven. In the meantime, EO, EO, EO 11, EO 11, EO 11. Show me a man without a dream, and I'll show you a man that's dead, real dead. Once I had me a dream, but that dream got kicked in the head, dream dead. I nearly had me that chauffeur and that block-long limousine, EO11, EO11. I nearly had me that penthouse, all them stacks of folding green, EO11, 11. Some judge is gonna say I'm putting you away for 40 years and 7. In the meantime, EO11, 11.
Hey, James Bostic here, Conservative Perspective on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. We're about to say Mojo and Edwin Domingo on the Patriot Nation Radio Network here, blogtalkradio.com. We do it live 2 times a week. Let me talk to you about that in a minute. Got some things going on, and ordinarily, yes, we do the show Tuesdays, Thursdays live, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We do a 2-hour version on Tuesdays, and we do a 1-hour version on Thursdays because we're back-to-back with Mark Hoffman, as we have been for, these many, many, I think, 7 years now. We're going on 7 years doing this, me and Mark. But some things have happened, and I've got some other interests that I've got to be focused on. And in order to do that, I'm going to probably, in all likelihood, sacrifice the Thursday show, and we won't be doing that anymore. If there comes a time that I look at my schedule and I can see that, maybe this was premature and we can go back to doing a Thursday show, well, naturally, I'm going to flock right to it. But as it stands right now, we're going to be holding tight on the Thursday show. Not going to be doing that for a while, maybe not ever again. And maybe we'll find an alternative night. It all depends. But one thing's for sure. Tomorrow, when we get up in the morning, the world is going to be just as round as it is today, and it's not going to stop spinning anytime soon, and we've still got a couple shows that I can talk to you guys on, and that's exactly what we're going to do. And you know what? It just keeps piling up. The Brandon administration is nothing more than just an out-of-control dumpster fire, and that's all you can say about it. Full stop. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. It's nothing but corruption, deceit, fecklessness, and incompetence. And that's what we're going to be talking about. And, I mean, honest to God, I I don't know that it can get any easier for guys like me. I mean, it's just, oh my God. It's unreal. We sat back and we scratched our heads thinking, how in the hell did Barack Obama, that jug-eared bastard, how in the world did he get elected twice? But by God, he did. And I'm like, this is the most incompetent, do-less, feckless, ridiculous administration since Jimmy Carter. Well, I was wrong. I missed it by one. You know, when you get down to the bottom of the political barrel, that's where you find Barack Obama. And Joe Biden is what you come across when you lift up the barrel and look underneath. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, he's doing irreparable damage to the country, or at least damage that it's going to take a long, long time to rehab from, most notably our southern border. Guys, our southern border has been wide open since this plagiarizing, corrupt money grabbing in the pocket of communist China dude took his hand off the Bible after saying the oath. And in the last week and a half, I mean, it's just been piling up, okay? It's just been piling up. Last week it was a terrible one. I know what they wanted to do. They turned it into this marathon press conference, and we're gonna show you guys he's not crazy. We're gonna show you guys he's not some weak, sick old man doddering around the White House looking for the next ice cream cone. Double cherry vanilla with sprinkles. Okay, we gotta have that ice cream, man. So Biden's best and brightest, and I say that with tongue firmly planted in cheek, came up with the idea, well, okay, how can we, what do we got? Everybody thinks his mind is gone. What do we have to do to keep them from thinking that? Not because it's not true, because it is. Cognitively, the dude he's in decay. All right? That's all there is to it. Personally, I didn't think he would last this long. And I've said it a million times, and it's going to happen. At some point, this guy's cognitive decline is going to outstrip the ability of whatever cognitive cocktails they've got him on to help him try and keep some kind of grasp, albeit tenuous, on reality. I know what we'll do. They're always pissing and moaning because he doesn't give enough press conferences. All right. Well, we'll give him a press conference to choke on. We'll drill him for two or three days. We'll get him up for this thing, and we'll send him out there, and let's let him talk for about an hour and a half. And then we'll make sure that the questions that he answers are going to be the ones that he already has crib notes for, that he knows the answers to. And we're going to show him that this guy's got a mind like a steel trap, except that every time he thinks of something, his nut jumps up and swallows his head. And so that's what they did. And like I said, the intent was to show a guy who was in command of his faculties, who had the situation well in hand and knew what he was doing every minute. Jesus wept. Now, some of you, and I understand why you wouldn't. I really do. I understand why you wouldn't. And, you know, maybe some of you contented yourself with just the highlight. Well, I gritted my teeth and lowered my head, and I went through that whole thing. And I don't know if there was ever anything that I've seen in terms of a press conference. And you're going to give a press conference for two reasons. You're going to give a press conference to relay information concerning issues or decisions that are going to be met and to inform. And the other reason that you give a press conference is to take credit for, to crow, to beat up on your accomplishments. And this was a combination of both. And there were some... Oh, my God. Let's see here. I think I've got it. Let me check down here. It should be in either F or T for five or the. Okay, well, I'm not seeing it up here in the Fs. So let's go down here to the T's, to the five. And it's again, it's about 10 minutes. But, you know, we got a two-hour show, so we got plenty of time to kick this crap around. And by God, that's what we're going to do. There she goes. These eyes, theme from Vegas, the ride, the lion, the five, Biden presser. Here we go.
President Biden's first news conference turning into a total catastrophe. But don't just take our word for it. Just look at what the White House was forced to do. They had to roll out a cleanup crew in order to mop up one Biden blunder after the other. Like when the president claimed the midterm elections may be stolen.
Well, it all depends on whether or not we're able to make the case to the American people that some of this is being set up to try to alter the outcome of the election. The increase in the prospect of being illegitimate is in direct proportion to us not being able to get these reforms passed.
The White House trying to backtrack and is claiming that it's not what the president actually said. Dana P. asked Press Secretary Jen Psaki exactly what Biden meant. Listen.
I'm curious if he will continue to say that those 2022 elections will be illegitimate.
Well, first, I've talked to the president a lot about this, and he absolutely is not predicting that the 2022 elections would be illegitimate. The point he was raising was both that in 2020, even amongst challenging circumstances, efforts to suppress the vote, and the midst of a pandemic, there was record turnout. He was not making a prediction. He has confidence in the American people, and we're going to do everything we can to protect people's rights.
He mentioned
Kamala Harris also being rolled out for mop-up duty. But in true Kamala Harris fashion, she actually made things worse by refusing to answer a simple question.
But it's the bills were debated and they didn't pass.
If I may finish.
But the specific question, if you don't mind, does he think now that these bills haven't been passed that the 22 midterms won't be legitimate or fair or free?
Let's not conflate issues.
Dana, let's not conflate issues. I don't know what issues they've even agreed upon. It seems like everyone's saying something different at the White House.
Well, one thing that's pretty interesting is that Savannah Guthrie over at the Today Show, that was her first question too, right? It's like, what did he mean when he said the elections will be illegitimate? Are you saying that what President Trump said about 2020, which you disavowed, because you say that the 2020 election was legitimate. Good. Okay, fine. Let's maybe all try to agree on that, or some agree on that. I agree with that. Well, then, are you saying that this next one is not going to be? Because what? What are the specifics? They've never laid that out. And so then you have the press secretary have to come out and say, actually, no, what he was saying is this, and I can't even remember what her tweet said, but I can imagine that the White House communications team, as soon as he said that, thought, okay, there's one thing that we're going to have to do right away. That issue is not going to go away, because it wasn't just Kamala Harris that said what she said. Congressman Jim Clyburn of South Carolina said it as well. So get ready. Buckle up, everybody. We're going to have a big fight again about legitimacy of elections without specifics of concern. The Democrats are expected to lose big time a lot of seats in this midterm election, and not just in the midterm for Congress, but we're talking about state houses, state races, things like that. So are Democrats trying to set it up that if they lose, those elections aren't legitimate? Where have we heard that before? And where did that really, like, screw things up for everybody? So there was that. There's just one other thing. I think the mop-up that was a pretty big deal, and that was the minor incursions are going to possibly be okay now by the Biden administration. excuse me, last night, they had to have a national security official, I think it was probably Jake Sullivan, get on the phone and tell everybody. Actually, that's not what he meant. But that is exactly what our adversaries and our allies heard. And you saw Zelensky put out a note today. They're trying to walk it back. That was a big blunder.
And the media kind of agrees with us, Greg. Listen to the mainstream press just dissect this press conference.
If you're foggy and meandering on key questions and you're also not winning, then you've got a real problem.
Putin and Xi and our NATO allies are not debating that right now. Mm-hmm. They see Joe Biden as weak. Yesterday's press conference did not help.
So I didn't think it was a very impressive listen. I'd probably go back to the drawing board.
I'm not sure that his staff is exactly excited about all the news he made.
No, there's a lot to clean up.
What do you think, Greg?
Well, first off, I have to say that I look great in this studio. Anyway, yeah, you thought the Exxon Valdez needed a cleanup. Joe was like, hey, hold my insure. I'm going to use the booze analogy. You got to compare every – we're in this state where we kind of – we always have to compare Joe Biden to the guy before him, right? And Trump is kind of like – was an everyday presence. So we built up a tolerance. And he'd come out and he'd speak. He was like a nightly martini. We got used to it. But Biden, he's like a guy you – he didn't drink for a year, and then he comes out and he binges for 2 hours, and now we all have a Biden hangover. I mean, I'm as confused as I am after that happened. I think the big mistake was they thought going long would address the questions of mental fitness, but instead it revealed the fogginess, as Van Jones pointed out, the confusion, and also the crankiness that came later that you pointed out. It's like, again, I mean, another analogy, it's like a classic car that's been sitting in the garage. You don't immediately drive it across the state, you know. You drive it down to the diner 5 miles down the road. That's Joe's speed. But I got to defend him. It's not his fault. I mean, he didn't make himself president. The Democratic Party did. It's 2022, and I still can't believe Joe Biden's president. He's been around my entire lifetime, and he's president now after running, I don't know, 13 times. The bottom line, though, if there was very little time spent on American concerns, it was spent on media concerns. And that was the bogus voting bill in Russia. Meanwhile, Americans just wanted to hear about law and order, getting food on their table. It's like they order steak, and the Democrats keep delivering them tofu.
Yeah, Geraldo, no questions on the border. But a lot of questions about the border on Ukraine. What did we get, like a dozen questions about that? It just seems like way off by the press.
Well, I think the criticism is a bit harsh of the president. I thought it wasn't that bad. He did make that awful blunder about the minor incursion in Ukraine, which kind of made the hair on the back of my neck stand up, you know, and some of his other language was kind of meandering. I do agree with that. But I also think that he showed incredible stamina for an old guy. I admired the fact that he was on his feet for 2 hours answering some very hostile questions, including some, one from our former colleague James Rosen, that was so insulting. He asked the President of the United States, are you mentally incapable of holding your office? I mean, can you imagine James Rosen or anyone else asking Ronald Reagan that? I thought that was very, very rude. You know, he cleaned up the Ukraine. I think that the good thing about the Ukraine is that he made it clear that he wasn't drawing a red line, that we weren't committing ourselves to a war in Europe if there was a further Ukrainian incursion by the Russians. Thank God for that, because there's so many hawks in Washington. I could just see them all beating the drums. Come on, let's send the 101st Airborne, the 82nd Airborne to Ukraine right now. I'm glad that he didn't go that far. What he did do was unfortunate, and I think it was a slip, because not because it was false, but because I believe it was true. I think that it is U.S. policy that if there is a minor incursion, they're not going to go nuclear in terms of the sanctions. But, you know, that's, you shouldn't think out loud, especially in that context, Jesse.
Well, that's a pretty low bar to Geraldo's point, Katie, that he stood up for a long time. I mean, come on, Geraldo.
First press conference in 78 days.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, the question about mental acuity was asked because half of the country, including a number of independents in the latest AP poll, had very serious concerns about Joe Biden's mental ability to hold the job. So the question being asked was just a reflection of what people are saying to people calling them on the phone and asking about the president and the job that he's doing. But when it comes to the press conference yesterday, they rolled out everybody. They rolled out Nancy Pelosi, as we said, the vice president, and everybody had a problem and wasn't on the same page with exactly what they were saying and what the message was. In terms of what they said today, Jen Psaki said during the press briefing that foreign leaders are happy that a person who respects democracy and alliances is back in the White House. Well, then you touch on the two issues that were the main problems yesterday in the press conference. Domestically, the president is now questioning democracy and the legitimacy of elections. And in foreign policy, our alliances are all over the place. Europe, NATO don't know what they're going to do if Ukraine is invaded. The Ukrainians are very worried about what the United States is or isn't going to do. And the bottom line is there's been no deterrence. This didn't happen under President Trump because there was deterrence. And Putin sees an opening here to do something. And also, the last thing is that because they waited so long to roll Joe Biden out to the public, 78 days since the last press conference, he had no wins to talk about. They had him out there after he lost everything. There was nothing that he won on. They could have put him out a month ago before these bills were voted on and maybe get ahead of it. They didn't do that. They put him out there after he had nothing to go on and when he was a lame duck. And that's why all the questions yesterday had very tough answers.
Yeah. Now, before we go, Geraldo, is that your front lawn you're standing in right there?
Yes, it is. It is. Okay. It's quite chilly. But I can take it.
Okay. And have you been in that second floor room over your left shoulder? Have you seen that wing of the house?
I have not yet visited it, but I assure you that when you guys go on your trip to Wyoming, stop here and we'll visit it together.
All right. That's a deal.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. Hey.
Yeah, thanks, Sean. Okay. Now, again, you can look at this and you can say, well, that's just, you know, that was Jesse Waters and Dana Perino and Greg Gutfeld and the token there, Geraldo Revolver. And you could say, well, you know, that's what else are they going to say? And that's very true. However, you also heard in that clip Joe Scarborough, Van Jones. Okay, these guys are not conservatives. These guys are the left all the way. And if they're saying these things, how much more obvious can it be? And they're talking about the question that James Rosen asked. And I want you to, I've got the clip. It was not an insulting question. It was not a classless question. It was a legitimate question based on the polls. If we look at it from just that, Joe, where are you, buddy? Big dummy. Oh, no, that's Red Fox. But I can see what you can understand why I would make that mistake. Biden voters, Biden vax mandate, Biden says don't vote, Biden puts Harris in charge, Biden presser dodge, Biden. Biden, no idea. Here we go. Don't pay attention to that.
Yes.
Thank you very much for this honor. James Rosen with Newsmax. I'd like to raise a delicate subject,
but
with utmost respect for your life accomplishments and the high office you hold. A poll released this morning by Politico Morning Consult found 49% of registered voters disagreeing with the statement, Joe Biden is mentally fit. Not even a majority of Democrats who responded strongly affirmed that statement.
Well, I'll let you all make the judgment whether they're correct.
Well, the question I have for you, sir, if you'd let me finish, is why do you suppose such large segments of the American electorate have come to harbor such profound concerns about your cognitive fitness? Thank you.
I have no idea.
They're really showing themselves to do really well. Come on, man.
Come on, man. No idea. Now, this thing with Ukraine. A lot of times, it is not good. It is not the right thing to do. It is reprehensible, and it is usually found out shortly. You know, the motivations were revealed usually shortly after things happened. Well, here's what I'm talking about. Bill Clinton, talked to a lot of girls. Okay? He just did. He talked to a lot of girls. And he got to talking to this one girl. And things got a little carried away. And some of it made the papers. Some of it made her dress. But a lot of it made the papers. And it was getting to be a problem. It was getting to be a problem. It would not go away. There wasn't any spin for some reason, believe it or not. And that was a sycophantic press, okay, that was dealing with Clinton. They, just like with Biden, just like with Obama, they worshiped the ground the guy walked on. He could do no wrong. At some point, even with guys that they love, if there's enough chum in the water, they're going to take a bite out of them. And that's what happened. Well, this thing is making people uncomfortable. And we've got to do something to get these innuendos off the front page, out of the news. We need something. What can we do here to redirect the media and the public's attention? Well, a lot of times what they do is they will engage in military action. Again, it is not right. It should not be done. And any American GI, any American man or woman who is in harm's way serving this country, who is injured or dies as a result of that, has been murdered. I don't care how you call it. That's exactly what's happened to him. So Bill Clinton, like I said, he talks to a lot of girls. And he's talking to this one girl, and there's a problem, and it won't go away, and just keeps getting bigger. So he does a couple things. Libya at that time was very impudent. Muammar Gaddafi was in full control, just as he was almost up to the day he died. And he did a lot of nose thumbing at the United States, and he did it to the point where Ronald Reagan blew up some of Gaddafi's family. He thought Gaddafi was there in a caravan out there in the desert, and so he dropped an airstrike in on him. Sadly, Gaddafi wasn't there, but Gaddafi got the point. And he was pretty chill from that point on. But then a more lenient Democrat administration comes in after H.W. Bush. And Gaddafi is a state sponsor of terrorism at this time. So we're gonna bomb a munitions factory. We're going to bomb a factory where they're making and manufacturing dangerous chemical weapons. We're going to take it out, man. We're going to get rid of it. So the intelligence comes in. The target is selected. The mission is drawn up. It is executed. And the United States military could congratulate itself on destroying utterly an aspirin factory. No chemical weapons, no weapons of mass destruction. Aspirin. They were manufacturing aspirin. And then there were issues in Kosovo. And we helped the Kosovars against the Russians. NATO flew sorties in there, and it worked for a while, but if you remember your history, it didn't work that well, and it didn't work for long. And even though that wily SOB was able to get out from under it, he was impeached. And the two administrations of what was otherwise a fundamentally capable centrist-type leader who just had this one flaw, was tainted forever. Having said that, let me say this. That's what leads us up to today and Ukraine. Devastatingly poor poll numbers. Inflation at a 40 to 45 year record high. Jobs stagnant. the draconian, overwhelming lockdown mandates from Corona and the other variants that they've tried to, you know, look at as an opportunity to seize more control. The social unrest. Now, a lot of that, granted, took place during the 4 years of Donald Trump, but it was fomented by the Marxist left, by the progressive left, the Democrats. We're still seeing the aftermath of that. All these crises have bubbled up to the point that it is impossible for the sycophantic media that works with the establishment media to cover it up, to whitewash it, to redirect. They just can't. And one of the reasons why and there are a number of them, are guys like Gary Binford, like the author Kevin White, like El Guapo, the handsome one himself, Mark Hoffman, like Don Newman and Donna Fiducia, like Michael Cutler, like Claire Lopez, like Trevor Loudon. It was so much easier to do this in the Clinton presidency, to tamp it down, to suppress what was going on. But you had guys like Savage, you had guys like Limbaugh leading the way, who incidentally, it's guys like Savage, and especially Limbaugh in particular, whose shoulders guys like Gary and myself and Kevin and Mark and any of the other podcasters out there, it's their shoulders that we stand on. They made it a reality for everyone that wanted to be able to do it, and they can't. And thank God a lot of the people that wanted to do this, who felt like they had something to say, are strong pursuers of the truth. Now, I can tell you right now, my word for anything, look it up yourself. That's what I did. These are the conclusions that I came to. And over the years, my research skills have been honed as such when it comes to this stuff. I've got a pretty solid knack for it. And I have compiled a list of individuals whose opinions and analysis I trust implicitly. And that's what I share with you. And I throw in my own two cents every now and then as well. So that's what they're talking about. That's why everybody is freaking out about Ukraine. Putin wants to retain, he wants to annex Ukraine. He wants it back in the Soviet Union. He wants to see a restoration of those glory days of the Soviet Union when he was a young KGB officer. So Putin also knows that Biden, you know, his mind is gone. Xi Jinping. Xi Jinping, by the way, and the Chinese government have tied up about $31 million in the Biden family through business deals where the principal majority of the business partners were high up members or former members of Chinese intelligence, of Chinese state security. Do you understand? Yeah. It's coming out of Pete Schweitzer's book, which was released today, red-handed. I pre-ordered a copy. It's on Amazon Kindle, and I've been looking at it. This guy knows what he's talking about. And it's not only this, but you could go back to Secret Empires, another outstanding book, or Clinton Cash Incorporated, another great one, or Throw Them All Out, another good one, from Pete Schweitzer and the General Accountability Organization. It's worse than we thought. But we'll get into that in a minute. So the saber-rattling concerning the United States and Russia over Ukraine. Now, Nobody in Europe is upset about this. Nobody. As a matter of fact, today they were talking about this very issue, and the question came up to Jen Psaki. Psaki. I just don't know about that chick, man. I'm sorry. She. This is going to sound, I don't know what it's going to sound like, but you know what, I don't care. She reminds me of the chick in the group of chicks in the clique. She reminds me of the chick in the clique who woefully imagines herself to be just as hot as the other chicks in the clique, but she's really not. That's what I see. That's what I see. And from a cerebral standpoint, someone completely vapid and ineffective at their job. And it, but then again, you know what? It's got to be tough to try and spin and lie your ass off every day to cover for that insane guy. I mean, really, it does. It's got to be tough. It's got to be. If nothing else, when Donald Trump was in the White House and his press secretaries were out there taking the shots, they were on the side of right. And they didn't have to lie. They didn't have to obfuscate. They didn't have to blow smoke. So today at a press conference, where are you, Psaki? Where are you, Jenny, babe? Psaki sandbags. There we are. Okay. Here was the question. And he sent an aircraft carrier group, a task force, I guess, because they never send an aircraft carrier out alone. It's always got escorts to go with it to protect it, into the region as a show of what? I don't know. But it's over there now, and if it's not, it's steaming in that direction and should be there shortly. Here was the question asked by Jen, asked of Jen Psaki. Where are you, sweetheart? Where'd you go? There we are.
And then just more broadly, for years, NATO members have fallen short of their defense spending commitments. Last year, more than 60% of the alliance's 30 members, including half of the Bucharest 9 that are right near Russia there, failed to meet that their 2% GDP spending commitment. If Europeans aren't willing to expend blood and treasure on their self-defense, why should Americans be expected to do so?
Well, yeah. We are continuing to advocate for all members to reach the 2% goal. That has been the president's position since he was the vice president, so for many years now. I would say that we have a sacred obligation under NATO, and we believe it is also in our interest to support our eastern flank countries and their security, and also to be clear about the value we have as Americans, which is that no country should be able to take with force another country as Russia is attempting to do at this point in time.
One last one. You said that military incursions by Russia into Ukraine would trigger stiff economic sanctions. Does that apply to our policy with China and Taiwan?
If there was a
military incursion of some kind into Taiwan, would there be economic sanctions? Could China expect that?
I don't have anything to preview on this that at this point in time. Go ahead.
No, I bet you don't. I bet you don't. Now, and it's, like I said, it's the usual smoke and obfuscation that we've come to expect from the Brandon administration. So we're not going to get into that. That's there it is. But there's another answer to this question. And if Jen Psaki were honest, what she would have said in terms of answering that question, if it's not a big deal for the NATO members who won't pay, the 2% of their GDP to help take care of themselves, why should we get all jacked up about it? The honest answer would be we in the Biden and Obama administration are doing all this stuff in Ukraine, for Ukraine, and under the auspices of protecting Ukraine, because a whole bunch of us from both political parties in and around the D.C. Beltway, along with our families, receive massive amounts of personal financial wealth from the D.C. money laundering operation of foreign aid money in and around Ukraine. That's the real answer. And that's the reason Pataki cannot reconcile that easy question publicly. The NATO members themselves also know that American politicians enrich themselves and their families through the laundry of foreign aid to their own bank accounts. Remember Joe Biden talking about the lawyer there, the attorney general, the nation's attorney general, who was looking into the underhanded dealings of Burisma, which was a company, it's an energy company over in Eastern Europe, run by some crooks. Some people on the board of directors were pals with Vladimir Putin and Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden was on the board of directors there too. And they made a lot of money. He there for about 3 years. Hunter Biden got about $81,000 a month for being on Burisma's board of directors. Did he have a background in natural gas and drilling technology? No. Did he have a background in Ukraine? Was he familiar with the economics? No. Politics? No. No. Did he have any knowledge that would be of any value to an energy company, to an extracting energy company? No. But he was the son of the Vice President of the United States. Secret empires, people. You can probably get it on Kindle for free. And you can find out about Hannage's Automotive, about Bohai Harvest, about, Sinohawk Energies, all these different companies that these guys were partners with, and the partners were people who were tight with Chinese intelligence, with Chinese state security. Not dead air, I'm here. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. All this talking makes a man thirsty, and we will be back with more of Conservative Perspective right after this.
Trouble to turn into a struggle halfway across Alabama. Well, a hound broke down and left us all stranded in downtown Birmingham. Well, right away I bought me a through train ticket right across Mississippi clean. I was on that midnight flyer out of Birmingham smoking in the New Orleans. Somebody help me get out of Louisiana, just help me get to Houston town. There are people there who care a little about me and have all left the poor boy down. Into the promised land, working on a T-bone steak, a la carte, flying over to the Golden State. When the pilot told us in 13 minutes he would set us at the terminal gate. Sweet and low chariot come down, easy taxi to the terminal zone. Cut your engines and cool your wings and let me make it to the telephone. Los Angeles, you may know for Virginia died 1-4-10-09. Tell the folks back home this is the promised land. He would set us at the terminal gate. A swing low chariot come down, easy taxi to the terminal. touch your engines and cool your wings, and let me make it to the telephone. Los Angeles, you've been off on Virginia side, what a 1409. When the folks back home, this is the promised land calling, and the poor boys on the line.
What do you want to do tonight?
Same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
Of course!
Okay, looks like we're back. James Bostic here, Conservative Perspective on, hang on, on Patriot Nation, on Patriot Nation Radio. That happens more times, like when I'm doing the recorded show, I'll go, hey, everybody, James Bostic here on the, tonight, if tonight is Tuesday, then we're on Patriot Nation at blogtalkradio.com. You want to check them out, blogtalkradio.com, putting the blah, blah, blah in Blog Talk Radio. Okay, get a load of this, just to show you what I'm talking about. We're going to get back to the Ukraine war drum thing, too, but I did check this out.
That's a great asset. More inflation. What a stupid son of a bitch.
Okay, so Joe Biden, I think, by popular acclaim as well as by scientific probing, genuinely a stupid son of a bitch if there ever was one, is calling young Ducey, Peter Ducey, I think the old man is Steve and the boy is Pete. Young Ducey, he's calling young Ducey a stupid SOB because he's had the question and the presser that they were doing, the press availability they were doing, had to do with the issue of inflation. And he has set up a special committee, the committee on coalitions to look into not doing anything about much of whatever. And it's probably going to be true to its name. Biden says, I'm going to get out of here. I'm not going to take any questions right now because all you guys are going to want to do is ask me about Russia. And that's not what this is about. I want to be on topic. So Ducey, on topic, asks that question. And that was the response that we got. Let's see here. Let's go down here and see if we have it. They talked to him immediately afterwards. And I'm not gonna ruin that for you. I'm just going to go ahead and play it if we have it. Man, I guess well, then we'll talk a little bit more. Here's what, that's not a problem. I can fix that too. Young Ducey, that's what we'll call this. O-C-Y. And then we'll just go ahead and load it up. But they bring him in the Fox. He had no clues of what was going on, but I'm not gonna tell you about that part. Let's see here. Okay. There we go. Okay. So, and hopefully what's going to happen while I BS with you guys is this thing's going to load up and I can go ahead and we'll be able to play it here in just a wee short minute. And we've seen this happen more than once with Joe Biden. And it also happens to other people, but it happens to Joe. He gets flustered, or he gets questions that he considers are too hostile, or he gets agitated with a reporter, whatever, wherever he's at, and he has a tendency to lash out, to respond mean spiritedly, and we've heard it in the lying dog faced pony soldier, and threatening to whip some guy's butt, and challenging some other dude to push-ups or whatever the hell it was he was doing, and just crazy stuff with him. But in folks who are having to work through cognitive decline, there comes a place of and they may be, it may not be forever, it may be only moments of rationality, of understanding what's going on, of being able to say, oh my God, man, I'm losing my mind. My mind is fake, And but a lot of times when folks like that are flustered, they're asked questions. They don't want anybody to know, obviously. Who wants to be, looked at and known to be, it's that old crazy old man Bostic. He's all the time telling people to get out of his yard, and there's never anybody there. I don't get any, but they don't want to be perceived as that. They don't want to be perceived as failing cognitively, especially the chief executive of the United States. But one of the covers that happens, one of the coping devices that's used, one of the defense mechanisms is to, put the other person on the defensive, to behave, respond aggressively to a question. He was asked one time about a cognitive test. Would he submit to a cognitive test early on in the campaign? And he was asked this by some reporter, and the guy said, no, I'm not going to take a cognitive test. Did you take a cocaine test before you came in here? Are you on coke, man? Or, and just crazy stuff like that. So, anyway, here's what Ducey had to say after all this was done.
I think we have young Mr. Ducey with us right now. You heard Dana's comments and everyone's comments, Peter. Have you been called by the White House or the president and asked for to come to the Oval Office tomorrow for an interview?
No. And I don't think that that's coming either. But what's crazy about this is in the longer version of the clip, there was a group of reporters that were all gathered. We listened to him explain the Competition Council, which is the reason that he's having this meeting with most of the cabinet. And somebody shouted out a question about Russia, and the president said, I'm not going to take questions right now about anything off topic. So I shouted out something that's not on my two pages of questions about crime. Okay, what about inflation? Do you think inflation is a political liability in the midterms? And then he said that, and I couldn't even hear him because people were shouting at us to get out, but somebody came up to me in the briefing room a few minutes later and said, did you hear what the president said? And I said, no, what? They said, he called you a stupid SOB, and I said, did he say SOB? And the person said, no.
He did the elongated version.
You know.
Yep.
So, Ducey, I think the president's right. You are a stupid SOB.
Yeah, nobody has fact-checked him yet and said it's not true.
No one's given Pinocchio's for that one. No, but so you're now, I guess, everyone's talking about you. You're going to be known as the stupid SOB guy. I mean, before you were like the hair guy with the blonde hair. Now you're stupid SOB. Is this something you're embracing, Peter?
Do I have a choice?
I don't think so. I mean, I think you just have to walk around for the rest of your career as the stupid SOB.
Aww.
No, but it is something great that you were called and named by a president.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something that will be in the history books.
Yeah, I think that
if we still have them.
And Peter, you might already have like a book title.
Yeah.
Right? Or a chapter title at least. I do have a question. This happened last week with Jackie Heinrich. Happened again today. Like, is there something going on at the White House where there's more press availabilities that you're getting these hot mic moments, or is there just a lot of pressure because of everything that's going on? Do you notice anything different?
Well, you know, the White House and the communications officials here had been signaling last week when they had their first year in office anniversary that they were going to take a different approach with reporters. And we thought that meant after he did the two-hour press conference, oh, well, he's just going to be available for Q&A more often. But maybe it's more stuff like this.
Might be. Well,
it's good that you can smile.
Well, if I don't smile, I'm just going to be a ball of tears, and I can't because I have to do a hit with Brett Baer in 10 minutes. So.
All right, Peter.
I'm Steve Ducey.
I'm Brian Kilmeade.
And I'm Ainsley Earhart. And click here to subscribe to the Fox News.
Well, that's the wrong button, but it isn't wrong. So I'm about halfway tempted. Go ahead. Lou Rawls. Okay, but we're not going to do that. Not dead air. I'm still hanging out here. I'm sorry. Now I'm distracted. I'm riffing on Lou Rawls. You'll never. Anyway, it did not. And now this is not part and parcel of the press conference. The press conference happened Wednesday or Thursday last week. And it was just such a disaster that everybody, yakety, 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 they've been talking about it for days now. And to couple that, almost immediately, with the conclusion of that press conference, Bobo's approval numbers, they're not in the toilet, they're on their way to the sea. And these people are really building this up. And there have been border tensions between Russia and Ukraine for decades. Decades. This stuff was going on, you know, even before Barack Obama was in office. They're saying that they're escalating. And to show you just exactly, you know, who the hell's in charge around here, President Joe Biden left the White House Tuesday to get ice cream, even as tensions with Russia escalate and the border crisis, the Ukrainian border crisis, intensifies. Nobody's talking about our southern border. I don't know how much more intense it can be down there. The president made a surprise trip outside the White House to visit a small business in Washington, D.C., and also stopped for an ice cream cone, even though the weather was 34 degrees. The president did not address the border crisis during his trip. Got to get them sprinkles, man. I'm not out here to talk about borders. I'm here for the double dip. I'm here for the double dip in the waffle cone, man. Come on, man. But Joe's not going to worry about stuff like this. He's got people to worry about these kind of. That's why he can go out for ice cream. Delegation. That's how you do it. And, you know, today, Joe's job was to go out and get ice cream. The people who were delegating are doing it. It ain't Joe Biden doing the delegating, okay? And as far as Joe Biden's credibility, as far as Joe Biden's popularity, as far as Joe Biden being a shoe-in, not only to be nominated again, which maybe not. Whatever happens to Joe Biden, good, bad, or indifferent, the people that are running this show don't give a shit. They will use him up. And they're being helped by his wife, Dr. Jill Biden. And they will keep him there. And it couldn't happen to a nicer guy. Personally, I think it's great that it's happening to him. I think that it's good that this humiliation is taking place on a global stage, a global humiliation, because it's exactly what he deserved. For 50 years, this bastard has lived off the government nickel, off our nickel, and enriched his family with that same nickel that belongs to us. He stole from us. Plus, he's a creep, okay? He's a creep. His son's a creep. His wife's a freaking creep. She will leave him there. She wants to be first lady so bad. I think she would be happy to let him die in office. That's the truth. I really do. I think if something happened and he stroked out or, you know, went the way of the pack, she'd be fine with it. And they keep saying they want to get rid of Kamala Harris because she's even more dislikable than Joe Biden. And perhaps they do, and we've talked about that possibility. I don't know. The way I see it, they've got Kamala in their hip pocket as well because she, just like Joe Biden, is desperate to become president of the United States. She'll do whatever they say. Look what she did with Willie Brown just to get a job in politics. Okay? She was Willie Brown's chew toy there for a few years, back when she was Holton. She'll do whatever they say. And all they've got to do is find a malleable choice to make for vice president, somebody that's in their pocket, somebody that's in the tank for them already. And that'll be easy to do. That'll be easy to do. Everybody keeps talking about Hillary Clinton coming back. Maybe. She will run as long as she's alive if she can find a political party that would support her. There's no question about that. What I don't know is, will the Democrat Party, as it exists today, accept her as a possible nominee? They could. I don't know. I can't see it. But they conceivably could. Everybody's old, okay? She, by the time this thing turns around 2024, she would be 78, I think. 76, 78. Don Trump will be 78. Ron DeSantis won't be. Greg Abbott won't be. Glenn Youngkin won't be. And some of the most effective presidents we've ever had have come from governor's offices. So, yeah, will Hillary be in the running? You can bet on it. She's going to definitely be in the running. She doesn't know anything else. She's like Pat Paulson. You guys remember Pat Paulson? Google it. I'm not going to get into it with you. But I'm not going to get into it. You look it up. as we move closer to the midterm elections, you're going to see more and more and more and more desperation and desperate acts by the Brandon administration. Dana Perino was talking about it in that clip earlier when they were talking about Biden's presser. They're going to get crushed in the midterms. 26 Democrats from 26 D.C. Democrats, either in the Senate or Congress, have said, I think this is probably a good time for me to start hanging out some more with my family. So they're out. They're not going to seek re-election. They'll be Democrat. You know, they've got a little bit of depth in their roster. And they'll get people to run for those seats. But these guys aren't getting out because they want to hang out with their family a little bit more. They're getting out because they see the writing upon the wall. After 2024, well, he's a lame duck already. After his first year, fundamentally, Joe Biden is a lame duck president. Usually it takes 4 years or the last year of your second term or the last year of your first. He's a lame duck. It's not going to happen. So they're pulling out all stops. And they're going to try a lot of different things between now. And, you know, each is going to be more outrageous than the next. Each statement is going to be more provocative, more insightful. And when I say that, I'm not talking with insight as in I-N-S-I-G-H-T, I-N-C-I-T-E. It's going to be, you know, the rhetoric is going to become more and more fierce if that's imaginable. And there's a real possibility that we might wind up in some kind of military confrontation with Russia. And all that would have to happen would be, since Donald Trump's in so tight with Putin and their big pals, Joe just needs to call Don and say, Don, Joe, listen, can you talk to Vlad about this whole Ukraine thing? Things are getting a little too hot. And, you know, we don't want to act precipitously here. So can you help us out? Because we know you're tight with. That's all it would take, one phone call. Don calls Vlad. Vlad, Don, you're going to have to ease up on Ukraine. We're going to have to wait. Vlad, you can't do it. You can't do it. It's wrong. And we can't let you do it. That's what it would be. But no, because, and that's not ever going to happen because, number one, Donald Trump isn't tight with Vladimir Putin. It's Joe Biden. Joe Biden's tight with Xi Jinping. And I've zoomed back and forth here, Hunter. I'm still looking for Carlson. Okay, here we go. I'm not exactly sure how tuned in, how zeroed in I am to this analysis of Tucker Carlson's, but go ahead and take a listen to it. This is why he thinks some kind of military confrontation, I'm reluctant to say war, but I don't know what else you could call it, is on the horizon with Russia.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. Happy Friday. We opened the show last night with a kind of dark segment on the looming war between Russia and Ukraine. A bipartisan coalition of neocons in Washington has been recklessly stoking conflict between those two countries for years now. Our foreign policy establishment, in fact, has sent hundreds of millions of dollars in weapons to one of the most volatile regions in the world, hoping for some kind of explosion. And now their wish seems to be coming true. That explosion looks like it's on its way, and it could very easily suck the United States into the center of it. That's what we said last night. But honestly, as we read those words, they seemed hard to believe. We're really going to fight a war over some corrupt Eastern European country that is strategically irrelevant to us? With everything else that's going on right now in our own country? No normal person would ever want to do anything like that. How could it really happen? We're still not sure how it could happen, but nevertheless, it does seem to be happening right now. The Biden administration has begun evacuating American civilians from Ukraine. The Pentagon has announced it is prepared to use force in the region. So this country is now closer to a legitimate war than we have been in decades. And to be clear, we're talking about an actual war here, not a protracted series of airstrikes against some impoverished dirt patch they're telling you is an existential threat to the nation.
Russia is not Iraq. Russia has nuclear weapons and a real army. A war with Russia is not a joke. It won't be over in a week. So you'd think right now might be the time the President of the United States could explain what's going on here. What exactly are we doing in Eastern Europe and why are we doing it? But no. In an exchange with reporters today, Joe Biden explained that he wasn't going to take any questions at all for fear that someone might ask him about Russia.
By the way, the reason we're not going to have any time for questions now is these guys got to get quickly on a plane and go out and do a major announcement in Ohio, and you guys will ask me all about Russia.
You guys will ask me all about Russia. And Joe Biden's not falling for that one again. You can see why. A couple of days ago, he tried to talk about Russia during a press conference, and he got the talking points so mangled that his staff had to issue statements afterward informing us that Joe Biden has no idea what he's talking about. Biden's mistake at the press conference was suggesting that maybe war with Russia is not inevitable. In Washington, you're absolutely not allowed to say that. Donald Trump said it repeatedly. They impeached him for it. In Joe Biden's case, his handlers just stepped in and told us a brand new story. Here's White House Chief of Staff and amateur comedian Ron Klain explaining that actually this is what Joe Biden meant to say. And as you listen to it, you may notice that it's the opposite of what Biden actually said.
I think it's fair to say the White House has pretty aggressively walked back or clarified, whatever you want to call it, the president's comments about Ukraine and Russia and whether the president was signaling that a minor incursion might be viewed through a different lens. Whether the president meant to say that at the time or maybe he was being inarticulate, can you afford any gaffes given the stakes right now in all this?
Well, I think the president was quite clear and reiterated his point of view this morning. Very clearly, President Putin should have no doubt any move by the Russian assembled military across the border of Ukraine is an invasion. It will be met with a very severe economic response from the United States and our allies.
So this guy called Ron Klain, whoever that is, gets to overrule the President of the United States on matters of foreign policy. Since when is he allowed to do that? Well, whenever he feels like it. That's the real answer. Joe Biden is the weakest leader this country has seen since Woodrow Wilson had a stroke in office. That's a problem, but it's not the core problem. The core problem is that in America, elected officials no longer decide when we go to war, as in, say, a democracy. Instead, bureaucrats, generals, and defense contractors make those decisions, sometimes unilaterally. Here's failed rock star and hilariously inept Secretary of State Tony Blinken threatening, quote, severe action against Russia.
Discussion today with Minister Lavrov was frank and substantive. I conveyed the position of the United States and our European allies and partners that we stand firmly with Ukraine in support of its sovereignty and territorial integrity. We've been clear. If any Russian military forces move across Ukraine's border, that's a renewed invasion. It will be met with swift, severe, and a united response from the United States and our partners and allies.
So the President of the United States is not allowed to talk in public about Russia. He's admitted that today. He might say something that averts war. So instead, the same people who've lost the last five wars get to speak for him. Do you feel safer? You've got to wonder what voters think of this. Actually, we don't need to wonder what they think. Polls show that most Americans are completely opposed to fighting Russia over Ukraine because they're not demented. But you know who's very much in favor of it? Well, defense contractors, including Pentagon Chief Lloyd Austin's former employer, Raytheon. For defense contractors, war means massive profits, by definition. In just the last few years, the U.S. has spent more than $2 billion on military aid to this nation called Ukraine that most people couldn't identify on a map. Just the other day, the administration announced $200 million more. So the Ukrainians love this, obviously. This is the whole reason they once employed Joe Biden's otherwise unemployable son, to keep the cash flowing to them. So when Biden hinted this week that war might not be coming right away, the Ukrainians were highly distressed. In fact, they were so distressed they said so out loud. Watch this.
The big concern expressed by one Ukrainian official I spoke to last night is that this offers Vladimir Putin a green light, in his words, to enter Ukraine at his pleasure.
So the Ukrainians are complaining about American foreign policy, about what the president said at a press conference. The government of some place called Ukraine is demanding that we fight the Russian army on their behalf. Okay, I mean, it's not crazy. You could kind of see why they would want that. It's a lot easier than doing it themselves. The question is, we're the United States, so why are we obeying them? Hey, Sean Hannity here. Hey, click here to...
Sean keeps creeping in on my stuff, man. I'm going to have to have a little talk with him. Saber rattling. I don't know if I'm not exactly sure. Tucker seems to think that this is really going to happen, and I'm not there yet. It could. I'm trying to figure out how it happens. Somebody's going to have to move, and I would think that surely to God, as stupid as Milley and Austin and those people are over at the Joint Chiefs, they would at least have the brain power to wait until Russia did something that could be construed as an act of aggression and then issue a response. But I don't know. I don't know. They may fall on a doctrine of preemptive strikes. I'm not exactly sure how this would go. But Tucker's right. This won't be like beating up Pakistan or beating up Iraq or Iran. These guys have a pretty solid military. They are, as an enemy, tenacious, well-trained, fairly well-equipped. It would be costly. It would be costly perhaps on a scale that vastly exceeds what we saw as our casualty tolls and our numbers in Iran and Iraq during the last war. But I'm not sure that's going to happen. I really don't know exactly how this is going to go down. But it's going to be interesting to see. And there's a carrier group over there on its way over there now. And that's not uncommon. Anytime there are places, especially in the Middle East, when tensions get high or bad actors start doing what they do, we'll sortie a couple of task forces. And that usually says, okay, if you guys are going to really be stupid, we're going to bomb the shit out of you. I mean, it's blunt force. It is a club. Okay. That's what that is. And it is representative of really negative consequences in terms of the bad actors. So usually what happens, they may want to test. There's always some tin pot dictator out there that thinks they're going to, you know, test the United States resolve. And usually what happens is, something gets bombed. Something gets cruise missiled. That's just how it happens. But I don't think something's going to get bombed or get cruise missiled with Russia being involved and not expecting a pretty solid response. Just going to, you know, the only thing I can hope is that there are cooler heads throughout the Pentagon and throughout our military structure that will prevail. Eisenhower warned of it over 70 years, almost 70 years ago, well, 60 years ago, when in a farewell address to the American public as he's leaving office, he admonished America to be mindful of our vast military-industrial complex. We hear that a lot. We've heard that a lot ever since then. And a lot of bugaboos that the country has suffered through can be laid at the feet of the vast military-industrial complex. Basically, since the Second World War, we have been in war or preparing for war. Excuse me just a moment. Now we're back. So, and by that, what I'm talking about is technology, military technology, and the industries, the businesses responsible. Sperry Rand, Grumman Aviation, Boeing Aviation, McDonnell Douglas, Raytheon. These companies, unlike Ford and GM and the Remington Sewing Machine Company and other industries that converted their manufacturing technologies into making implements of war and equipment for war, and then going back. Then they went back, okay? Ford, well, General Motors, for example. General Motors is also known as Eastern Aviation, and they made Grumman aircraft under license, Grumman Aviation Company. As a matter of fact, some of their planes were better than Grumman's. Ford at the Rouge River plant built B-24 Liberators. But after the war, they went back to making Crown Vicks. They went back to making Mercuries. They went back to making Lincolns. Dodge and Chrysler went back to making their vehicles. These industries, while they do have some, you know, commercial applications, civilian applications, are primarily designers and manufacturers of military equipment. They're dedicated to that. They're dedicated to getting those government contracts. They're dedicated to coming up with weapons platforms and systems that are going to be better, faster, and more lethal than our enemies. That's what they do. So what's their motivation? Government money. Well, how are we going to sell the government more cruise missiles when they haven't used any of the ones that they've had for the last 4 years? Well, I guess we better get on the horn and figure out who we need to bomb. We need to come up with some reason to use these things. You fellas get after it. And that's what happens. Well, we've depleted our cruise missile inventory. We're going to need some more from you guys. Perfect. I'll send the guy over. We've got a brand new line, new colors, new versions, new looks. 25% off of the first order. Of course, shipping's always free. I'll have Lester come by, and he'll show you what we – and that's exactly what goes on. Lester makes money. Raytheon makes money. McDonnell Douglas makes money. Boeing Aerospace makes money. And somewhere down the road, these things are going to hit, you know, they're going to have the trigger pulled on them, and we're going to see whether they work or not. And basically, it's been like that since the end of the Second World War. Has it kept us safe? I don't know. They say that the price of peace is constant vigilance. And, you know, we got a pretty serious inventory. And I think if somebody made us mad enough, we could cause a lot of trouble in the world, a lot of trouble. And I think that's one of the reasons people leave us alone is because they know with this technology we can. However, at some point there's bound to be a temptation to use this. Again, the motivation could be political scandal, trouble at home, over domestic policies, could be anything. We live in interesting times. And we got just a couple minutes left, so I'm going to go ahead and knock off. You can hear us Tuesdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio at the Patriot Nation Radio Network. And you can also hear the show Sundays, a recorded version, Sundays, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Mojo 50 Radio Network, mojo50.com. If you aren't listening, you should be, because it is the very best in libertarian and conservative talk radio, mojo50.com. Not dead air. I'm still here just thinking about all the craziness that's going on. And at some point, somebody in this administration is going to be desperate enough that they're going to think, man, we got to do something, and we're going to have to bomb somebody to get these people to quit thinking about gas at $4 a gallon, and that we're now spending about $5,000 more on average in our budgets just to get along in this country. Watch the skies. You've been listening to a conservative perspective with James Bostic here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. That's all we have for right now. We'll be back invariably next Tuesday. It's going to take me a little while to get used to saying that. We'll be back next Tuesday taking a look at things as we do through a conservative perspective. In the meantime, God bless you. God bless America. We'll see you next week. Take good care of yourselves.